الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be respect, and we're also going to talk a little bit about what we call jizya. Jizya is spelled J-I-Z-Y-A-H. J-I-Z-Y-A-H. And this really is a form of tax that is levied upon the non-Muslims that are living in Muslim territory, and they get the protection of the Muslim army from anyone that's going to invade or hurt them. For example, the non-Muslim would pay a jizya to the Muslim government, and the Muslims will pay zakat to the Muslim government in order to support the people there and also get the protection from the Muslim or the Islamic government. It was related by Ashira, said, part of respect for Allah is to show respect to an old person. And also to a person, of course, who knows the Quran. And so I wanted to mention that. I don't know if we're not obsessing with this thing. Respecting of the elderly is very, very important in Islam. Respecting our mothers, respecting our fathers, parents, and then respecting those who are elderly. Sometimes people treat the elderly in a very harsh fashion, like they're in the way. They can't die soon enough in society, because right now we got to take care of them, or they always need something, need help carrying this or carrying that, and they're really a burden of society. Although the elderly, really, they help to build society, where most of their life building society, and then for the most part, and then they became old. And they still contribute somewhat. Some elderly contribute to society, but they can't contribute as much as they used to in their younger years, 40 years, 30 years, 50 years, whatever, 60 years, whatever they contribute to society, they've done their part. Now, those youth, it's your turn to do the same thing, and keep in mind that Allah willing, or if it's Allah's will, you will get elderly, you will be elderly too. You'll get old too. And so you also want to instill in people now, particularly youth, to respect the elderly. It's very, very important, because you want to respect the elderly, and they should also want to respect the elderly. Because one day you are going to be old, and the way you grow them up is the way they're going to perceive you and give respect to you or not give respect to you. So you grow up being disrespectful to the elderly, of course, one day it's going to be your turn. And then the children see that, maybe they're perhaps, they'll be better than you and won't disrespect you like you disrespected the elderly during your youthful time. Or they may follow your example because they were basically taught by you in the environment watching you how to treat the elderly, and they may end up doing the same thing. And so I just want to remind the people who are those more so the youthful ones in the community, respecting the elderly is very important. Even in Islam, respecting, this is talking about Islam now, respecting the elderly is very, very important. The young people, they give salam to the person who to the older people. There are some countries where elderly, they don't carry their own bags. If you saw an elderly person, older person carrying a bag, they will, of course, the villages or whatever, they will help them with that bag or that burden, whatever they're carrying, and say, "I'll do that for you. I got you." Or, for example, in America, we had different events. They tell the elderly, "You sit there. I'll bring the food to you. Tell me what you want, and I'll bring the food to you." And maybe some of the young people see this. And they may also do the same thing when you're old like that and tell you, "Sit down. I got you. What you want to drink, what you want to eat. After you finish drinking, eating, whatever, can I take your plate away, or do you want more?" And so this is how we have to train the youth of today, who one day will be the elderly people of tomorrow. So respect is very important, because you gotta to show respect, and inshallah, by the will of Allah, you will also get respect, or get the type of respect that you showed. If you show disrespect to the older people, then more than likely, and if people see that, more than likely you're going to get treated the same way, in the same fashion. Because you are the trainers of tomorrow. You are the trainers of the children today for a better tomorrow. So I just wanted to remind the people of this right now, the youth of this right now, even the ones who are very young right now, God willing, one day you're going to be elderly. And you're going to want to be treated in a certain way. And so I just want to remind us of this. Respect is very important when it comes to respecting those people who are the ones that are the elderly ones amongst us. And also, it was talking about terms of respect. We're talking about a believer is self-respecting, and Allah is extremely self-respecting. And so we have to even have respect for ourselves, not just outside of yourself and for other people. Have respect for other people. And of course, have respect for ourselves. It says what? A believer is self-respecting, and Allah is extremely self-respecting. And so we have to have some love for ourselves, some respect for ourselves. We don't walk around in a disrespectful manner of regarding ourselves. Dressing in your kind of way, provocative way, maybe cussing and fussing, that kind of thing. And so we have to have some modicum, some small amount of respect for ourselves. You want people to respect you? You have to initially respect yourself. And of course, respect others. You're going to give them what you want from them. Hopefully they will give you the same thing. And you want to be self-respecting. You don't let anyone lower you to less than what you are. If you're at a certain level, you always stay on that level or get a higher level. But you have to be self-respecting individual. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice, young and old, you have to be self-respecting. If no one else in the world respects you, you have to at least respect yourself. Have respect for yourself. And maybe one day they will learn to respect you. Allah knows best. Or maybe they never learn to respect you. But you have to have some self-respect, which is respecting yourself, regardless of what the other people think about you. That is not important at all. What is important is what Allah thinks about you, and you obeying Allah, and what you think about yourself, and what you feel about yourself. That's most important. There's some of you might be listening to me and say, "You know what, I was just thinking this morning that I'm not feeling that good about myself. I'm not pleased with myself." Or you believe what people say about you. You believe in yourself. You respect yourself. And don't be so concerned about what people say about you, because some people, like misery loves company. Some people want you to be like them. Some people don't respect themselves. And they want others not to respect themselves. And so, no. You're alone in this thing. You want to feel for yourself and not respecting yourself? That's up to you. That's your burden to carry, and don't place that on me. I'm not going to carry that burden. I'm going to help you along the way, uplift you as much as possible, and hopefully you one day will have self-respect and respect yourself. And don't expect people to respect you, because they may not do it. They may not ever do it. But you have to have some love for yourself, some respect for yourself, not hate yourself because people are telling you to hate yourself. That's how bullies get away with a lot of things. Either they do it online or face-to-face and get you feel like you're lower than what you are. Tell you who you are. You can't tell me who I am. You don't know me like that. You may think you do, but you don't know me like that. You're not going to downgrade me to whatever level that you are. You're alone on that island of disrespecting yourself, of loneliness, and not respect yourself, not having love for yourself, and hating yourself. That's a one man, a one woman island, and I don't have anything to do with that. None whatsoever. I'm staying on an island of self-respect, of loving myself the way I should love myself, or the way Allah tells me I should love myself. Let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, it was related by Abu Hurairah. He reported to Allah's Messenger, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, Allah is self-respecting, and a believer is also self-respecting. And the respect of Allah is injured if a believer does what he has forbidden him to do. So you want Allah not to have respect for you? You don't do what Allah says. Allah has forbid you to do certain things, then you do it. Allah does not have any respect for you. And the respect of Allah is injured if a believer does what he has forbidden him to do. So we want to make sure that we obey Allah, atiu Allah, wa atiu Rasul. That we obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And that we want Allah to respect us. And we want to continue always to have respect for us. And continue to do what Allah tells us not to do. And continue to do, attending to not to do. Allah said don't do it, we don't do it. Allah says do it, then we do it. It's really that simple. Read for yourself from Quran about what Allah wants us to do and what Allah wants us not to do. It's clear. It's the last revelation sent to mankind, and it comes straight from Allah. It's Kalam Allah, it's the words of Allah. Read it for yourself. No man can write anything like that. One sentence, one paragraph like that, one chapter like that, one sentence like that. You find it in the Quran. Read it for yourself. You have to go by what I said. Just read it for yourself. Go to it with an open heart, an open mind, and not block with, I'm going to go in here looking for bad things about Islam. No, you go in there and be open-hearted and open-minded. And see, okay, let me understand this Islam a little bit more. Let me read this Quran, because that's our guiding book. Let me read this revelation sent to mankind from Allah, like the Bible and like the Torah. He sent it to mankind to guide them. This is the best guidance. It's the last guidance to mankind. There will be no ever revelation sent to mankind. This is it. Next time something big happens, it will be on the day of judgment. Because right now the angel, he's there. Israfil, he's there with the horn to his lip. Trumpet to his lip, as someone say. And that he is waiting for Allah to give him the signal to blow the horn or blow the trumpet. That means the beginning of what? The beginning of the day of judgment. He blew it several times, but this you can study later on. It's not important right now. But he's waiting for Allah to tell him, okay, it's that time. That's the big event. The last big event, and this is from me. was a revelation, was the Quran sent to mankind as a guidance for mankind. Mankind went all astray. All kinds of way that he or she, they went. So Allah, he wants to make sure that he's fair. And that he's al-adl, that he's the lawgiver, and that he is fair. And that he's want to make sure, okay, you know everything you need to know. Everything you need to know to get back to Allah. Everything you need to know to get to paradise. Everything you need to know to stay away from the hellfire. It's all in Quran, very elementary. Nothing, no high language or anything like that. These words, these big words or anything like that. You need this dictionary, a thesaurus or whatever to look up these words. You don't need that. It's very simple. Or you go to a neighborhood masjid and ask the imam, explain. The imam is basically, most of the time, the leader and one of the learned people in that particular community. And you go there and you ask him to explain certain things to you. And if you don't understand, then ask him for better clarification or tell him to break it down even more for you until you understand. The imam should be very, 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 very patient with you. Inna Allah Ta'ala, he is with those who are patient. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient. The imam should be very patient with you, and you should be very patient with the imam while he tries to explain to you about Islam or about something in the Quran that you've read to get understanding. I'm not asking you to embrace Islam. I cannot make you embrace Islam. I want you to have a full understanding of what Islam is. And then you decide for yourself, I like this Islam. This is something that I want to embrace and be a part of. This is what I want or need in my life. Allah said, he said, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That he created men and jinn, and jinn is another type of being, that he created them to do what? To worship him. That's our goal, is to worship Allah. And Allah is happy with us, and we're happy with Allah. We love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. And that we do not do anything that Allah forbids us to do, because we want Allah to be injured, or us to be injured as believing in Allah, and we want the respect of Allah and respecting ourselves. I want to mention something else, that you decide to embrace Islam. That's good. Okay, you embrace Islam. And always keep in mind that Islam is excellent. Is perfect. But you may find some Muslims that are not excellent and not perfect. You don't use it for your example or for your excuse. I'm not going to do Islam. Look at them over there. They're not doing Islam properly. No, you can be example. You can be example for them. No matter how long they've been in Islam, years and years and years, decades, whatever, centuries in their family. It doesn't really matter. It's all about piety. It's all about the taqwa, piety, and being a pious individual, and obeying Allah and obeying His messenger. The Prophet ﷺ, may peace be upon him, he leaves two things. One is Quran, and one is his sunnah, his way. If you follow these two things, you cannot go wrong. You remember this, coming either you're outside of Islam or coming into Islam. You follow those two things, you cannot go wrong. What it says in Quran, and what the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, what he said. Let me move on with this particular topic about respect and also the jizya. It is also mentioned by Ibn Mas'ud. He told the Prophet ﷺ, saying to his companions one day, "Show due respect towards Allah." On their replying, Prophet of Allah, who shall do respect towards Allah? Praise be to Allah. He said, that is not what I mean. But he who shows due respect to Allah must guard the head and what it retains. Must guard the belly and what it contains. And guard and keep death and decay and remembrance. And he who desires the next world must abandon the adornment of this world. He who does that has shown due respect towards Allah. And so it goes on a little bit more, but I'm going to stop there. And so we have to guard what takes and we take it into our heads. Don't take a lot of things to take you away from Allah. The knowledge you want is knowledge going to get you close to Allah. Don't eat things that's forbidden by Allah. Any kind of foods or any kind of drink, any drugs. We don't take that into our bellies at all, because that's very, very disrespectful. And we always keep in mind about death, because we never know when we're going to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. We don't know when, where, or how we're going to die, but for certainly we're going to die. And we must remember this thing. Remember death. Remember decay all the time under the best of our ability. And not get caught up in the adornments of this world. Because the world can trap us. The riches of this world. The amusement of this world. Drugs, women, getting high, all those kind of things. We get caught up in that adornment and think, oh man, this is the good life. This is the only life. No, we have to prepare for the hereafter, and that's forever. This life, what, 60 years, 70 years, maybe a little bit over 100 years. After that, that's it, we die. But what happens in the next world is that we die, we're judged, and then those who are people who do what Allah says, or have done what Allah says in this life, then they go to a place that is everlasting. They're young forever. They don't have any worries or anything like that. Have to worry about death, because death, matter of fact, even death is going to die. And so we go into the paradise and get anything that we want. Or the opposite, we end up going to the hellfire and being burnt or fried into hellfire. And Allah knows best. He knows what is good for mankind, and he knows what is painful to mankind. He created us. And so none of us want to go to the hellfire, and both these places are real. So people may say, oh man, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, is that a chance you really, really want to take? Do you really want to do that? That you will end up in one place and not in the other place? A place that is best for you, which is the paradise, not the place that is worse for you, basically sometime for some forever, and that is the hellfire. If you ever burnt yourself before, and that's just temporary, then it's kind of get some relief out of ointment or something like that, and then that pain kind of goes away. It subsides. But here you're talking about going to the hellfire and just have the pain all the time, every day. All day, every day, you're going through the pain of the hellfire because you earned it. And Allah is very just. Because you did some of the things that you did in this world, some of the things Allah forbid you to do, you did it. And then you end up going to what? You end up going to the hellfire. But on the other hand, you did what Allah told you to do, and you did it. What Allah forbid you not to do, you didn't do it. And you end up going to paradise and have all the joy of the paradise. And anything that you want, you will get. And people will serve you. And you never get thirsty or never get hungry. And whatever you want in paradise, you will have, and that's forever. It's no like leaving there. You say, oh, Lord, am I going to just be here for a little while? Oh, no. You're here forever in paradise. What else do you want? And then one of the top things that we will see, I'm one of those people that go, is that we will see the face of Allah. No one, they've seen the face of Allah. Allah will take the veil away, or the kind of like the sheet, whatever you call it, away, or the blockage away, and show Allah Ta'ala. He will show his face. I know when the prophets, he asked Allah, can I see you? And then he kind of, the man kind of swooned, and he kind of fell out. He didn't see anything. But Allah, one of the rewards that people in paradise will receive will be seeing the face of Allah, the one you obeyed. You don't even see him. The one you did not want to do and get mad at you, you'd never seen him before, but you will see him on that day. You believed in Allah. You have faith in Allah, but you never saw Allah at all. But then Allah will unveil himself and show him to you. just another thing that people will earn that go to the paradise. Those who have the respect of themselves, and those who watch what they put in their minds and they put in their bellies, and also they know that death is going to come. Also, they make sure they remember Allah, and don't get caught up in the adornments of this world, because this world can kind of scoop you in very quickly, very, very quickly. I want to mention something else, and that is Umar. After he was stabbed, he instructed his would-be successor, saying, "I urge him," meaning the new Khalifa, "to take care of those non-Muslims who are under the protection of Allah and his apostle, and that he should observe the convention agreed upon with them and fight on their behalf to secure their safety, and he should not overtax them beyond their capability." And so I just want to kind of mention this thing to you all. And what I mean by this, we're talking about the jizya, J-I-Z-Y-A-H, jizya. That's a tax on, that's respect, or the tax that Muslim, it's a government, the overall government of a particular land, and that the people who are non-Muslims, they can practice their faith. If they're Jews or they're Christians, something like that, only thing that is asked is that you pay to the government the tax, the jizya. And that wherever that may be, so the government will protect you from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And for the Muslims, we pay the zakat, and that we pay that out of whatever money that we earn towards the government, and also to get the protection from the government. So I want to mention this to you all when we're talking about the jizya, is that you can probably look up for yourself. There's a lot of Muslim country, predominantly Muslim countries, where a lot of Muslims are. And also, if you really look at it, there are some non-Muslims that live in that particular country. Also, there are some non-Muslims that practice their faith. You go, I won't name various countries, but they can be able to practice Christianity or Judaism or anything like that. They're able to practice that freely without doing anything, any harm towards them. Even when we go to, if we went to war, which I pray that Muslims never have to do so, is that we do know some of the things we don't destroy, we don't block the road, we don't harm non-combatant, meaning elderly, women, and children, and we don't destroy vegetation, farmland, or something like that. And also, we don't destroy places of worship. There's a so-and-so over there where people worship, they're not Muslim, then we're going to destroy. That is not what we do. That's not what a believing person do. It's not what a Muslim does. Well, he and she, they do not do that kind of thing, because basically, if they really understand Islam and read more about Islam, they see that it's forbidden for us to do this kind of thing. We cannot do it. Some people may do it, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Islam. It's just something they just do, and they call it Islamic, but no, they don't have any proof. Show me the proof, or show you the proof that you can do what you're doing to the non-Muslims, or to the people that you go to a war against, or they attacking you, whatever it is. Even when someone attack a Muslim, we fight them until they stop attacking us. Now, we don't continue on and on and on like that. Really, Islamic, that's not the way to do things, and Allah knows best. Well, we certainly do not, even with our hatches, we do not take those people who are not hatches, I'm sorry, that's the wrong word I'm using, those people who are captive, war captives. We treat them a certain way. They eat what we eat, they drink what we eat, and so we treat them in a very, 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 very respectful way. And I going back to respect, this is what we do. And the people who are not Muslims living in our on our lands, we treat them in a very wholesome and respectful way. This is what we're supposed to do. And if you don't hate, if you hate it as a Muslim, that's your problem. You really don't fully understand Islam. You need to understand Islam a little bit better than the way you do and the form in which you do, but that's not the Islamic way to treat them with disrespect and also to treat them harshly. That's not what we do. If you want to know more information about Islam, you go to whyislam.org, or you find out more information about Islam, you go to the International Online University. They can teach you more about Islam, and also American Open University can teach you more about Islam. These people, they are not endorsing me or endorsing what I'm saying. I'm just trying to find other ways for you to increase your knowledge about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.